So we do some different things on the show, Mike, as our listeners know. We do some tax court Thursdays.
Yep. Wield the gavel.
Yeah, let you wield the gavel. We also do Celebrity Corners, the edition that we have, and that's what we have today. And typically these Celebrity Corners, Mike, what we're doing is we're trying to learn from either mistakes that celebrities make or learn from what they do right.
Yeah.
And in this particular regard, who we've got today is, and luckily we have someone who's not deceased. So this is great. This is someone who's doing their planning, which is fantastic. Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bob Dylan, prolific singer-songwriter.
For 60 years or more.
Yeah. Yep. Nobel Prize in Literature.
Mm-hmm.
And as a side note, if you haven't watched The Last Waltz, Bob Dylan and the band.
Yeah.
Great movie. I recommend it highly, and you should definitely do that today.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he had a prolific career, and what an anthology he had. And he just recently went to the bank with that, did he not?
Correct. That's exactly right. So yeah. What did Bob Dylan do? He sold the rights to 600 songs.
Wow.
That he had, his entire music catalog.
Mm-hmm.
He sold them to Universal Music Publishing Group for $300 to $400 million. The price was not officially announced.
Wasn't disclosed, but they're guessing it was in that range. It's still a big bank.
Correct. So $300 to $400 million for his entire music catalog. You know, and it's interesting because of copyright law, Mike, any song that was written prior to 1978, you get a 95-year copyright on it. And then any song after 1978 is a 70-year copyright. So these are very valuable still because they're going to be able to be copyrighted and get royalties off of them for many, many years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was interesting because I think reading between the tea leaves, there's two motivations for Bob Dylan selling his songs at the end of 2020. Number one, taxes.
Of course. Sounds like a big bite.
Yeah, big bite. So songs written by an artist are investments is what the IRS has termed them. And they can therefore receive long-term capital gain treatment. So if you've written a song more than a year ago and you've held it for more than a year, you can meet the capital gain test, the long-term capital gain, and therefore you get preferential treatment under the Internal Revenue Code. Preferential treatment means that you don't have to include that in ordinary income. You include them as capital gains, and currently the top capital gains rate is 20%.
Okay.
We have a new administration coming in, and now we know we have a Democrat president, Democrat House, Democrat Senate, and what is President-elect Joe Biden said he's going to do?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to eliminate basically long-term capital gain treatment and increase that up to ordinary income rates.
Yeah.
And then he wants to increase ordinary income rates on the top bracket from 37% to 39.6%.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say that Bob Dylan, his lawyers, his accountants, let's just say everyone drugged their feet. He wasn't quite sure whether he wanted to do this and they waited till 2021. What could he possibly lose by doing that? Oh, about 20% in taxes. If Joe Biden gets to wave his magic wand and get Congress to go along with him, because his preferential rate of 20% would all of a sudden increase up to 39.6% under his ordinary income rate, which I'm assuming he makes over $400,000 a year.
But wait, Landry, he's a left-wing folk singer. He should be wanting to pay the higher tax rate to pay his fair share rather than get out. Isn't it amazing?
It is.
You know, strip away all the politics. When it comes down to brass tacks and money, they're looking at, hey, you know what? You're going to pay more in taxes.
That's right. This
might be the time to sell.
Yeah, and you know, and Bob Dylan wasn't alone. I mean, Stevie Nicks at the end of last year, $100 million. That she ended up selling 80% of her catalog for.
Well, much like a stock that appreciates until you sell it, you don't get the tax hit on it.
Correct? That's right.
So he could have gone to his grave with the possession of this and then left it to the heirs.
That's right. That's a big point. So step number one that I believe that he did was a tax planning move.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And so I think it's very clear that that's a tax planning move. The second thing is it's an estate planning move. And this is where I think it's very illustrative for our listeners that are out there. Cause, you know, they're sitting there thinking, I don't have 600 songs. I don't have Bob Dylan. I don't have $300 million that I'm going to get. But look what he's doing here. He's selling these songs to a company who is then going to manage his legacy, so to speak. They are going to take ownership over these songs. And, of course, what are they going to want to do, Mike? They want to make as much money as they possibly can. They're going to keep Bob Dylan's name around for years and years to come.
Long after he's gone.
Now, if you've been a listener to this program, names like Prince, names like Aretha Franklin, James Brown, Tom Petty, what did all those names have in common?
They didn't have planning.
They didn't have planning,
which is,
all died without a will. So therefore, number one, they didn't do it on the front end like Bob Dylan's done right now, which is going ahead and cementing his legacy by selling these songs at this appropriate time and letting this company be able to be in charge of his legacy. They didn't even bother to do a last will and testament. And therefore had virtually no control. Well, really, not virtually. Just had no,
had
control,
no control
over the, over their legacy moving forward. And guess what? A lot of these estates have in common. They're not tangled up in blue. They're tangled up in court.
You've been waiting for that one.
I have. I waited for that.
That was good. But it's amazing. You look at these like Tom Petty et al. You would think they have handlers. They have counsel. On the business side, on the legal side, but they didn't do the simplest thing, which you have talked about. I bet if we look at your shows over the past 52 weeks, we've talked about wills on a good many of those
Lots
shows.
Of them.
And you're and Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins constantly drum that home to people about living wills, power of attorney, durable power of attorney, and wills.
Yeah, and I think this is important too, Mike, because you see when we talk about. We don't say wills. We don't say powers of attorney. What do we encompass all of this into? Estate
it's
planning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, an estate plan, Mike, is not just a will. It's not just a trust. It's not just a power of attorney. It could be planning to sell your assets at the appropriate time so you keep your legacy alive. There's a lot of business owners who are probably sitting there listening to me talk right now, and they're thinking, what would happen if I die right now with my business that I've got here?
Where does it go?
Now, it's not 600 songs. It's not $200 or $300 million.
Could be 600 acres.
Could be 600 acres. Could be a farm. Could be a legacy. Could be a small plumbing business. Could be anything out there. But if you're thinking about that and you're out there saying, what should I do right now? The answer is plan on some type of succession plan. And that's exactly what Bob Dylan did with the sale of these songs from an estate planning perspective is that he is planning for the future when he's no longer here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that's very difficult for people to do. I'm sure Bob Dylan didn't want to sell his songs, but he's probably looked at some of the situations that other artists have gotten into. He's probably thought about the fact that this could leave his legacy in the proper hands and he has control over it.
Yeah.
And that is what a lot of people want. A lot of people are like, look, I've spent my life building this business. I want it to go to who I want it to go to, and I want to have control over this business, and I don't want to leave it up to, you know, the state of North Carolina, for instance, if you don't do a will to say where this business is going to go.
Right.
Or I want to make sure it's in the proper hands so it gets administered properly. And if I'm no longer here, it can seamlessly move on.
Right.
Without there being some kind of hiccup in operation or anything like that.
So an individual listening to this show right now, he's a plumber. He started the company after high school. He's done it for 40 years and he's got three trucks on the road. It's him, his wife, and a crew of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no plan. What do? They come in and talk to Andrew Foster at Harvell and Collins, and you begin that conversation.
That's exactly right.
It's
we talk
simple.
About and you know, you look to see if there's an ideal person to take it over. A lot of times you end up with a child in the business.
Right.
Maybe you do. Maybe you've got someone who's worked hard in the business, and you think, hey, look, there could be a plan to sell this business to him upon my death, where my estate then receives funds, and then it will go to my relatives because there's no real heir apparent to take over this particular business. There's a lot of different ways to make sure that we ensure continuity of business. We make sure that you are compensated for your life's work.
Yeah.
We make sure it gets into the right hands at the end of the day of the individuals that need to be managing this business to keep it moving forward.
Because it would be a shame to have such a wonderful legacy as the plumber for 40 years and then have no roadmap ahead when the time is ready to punch out or just pass it on to the next
person.
That's
exactly right.
Yeah. Simple conversation with her.
Yeah, and a lot of times what happens, Mike, is that if you don't plan that and something happens, you're not going to get the value that you would get if you have a plan in place.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times what ends up happening is if you don't have a plan and someone dies and they're really that business and you got some assets that are hanging out there, a lot of times if you're looking to sell those assets, you're getting pennies on the dollar for them because you're selling them to either a competitor
or a bottom feeder.
That's exactly right.
Right.
So if you plan in advance, then you can make sure you're getting what you should get for this business that you've worked so hard for.
Yeah.
So learn a lesson from Bob Dylan. Tax planning and estate planning, they can come together.
Yep.
And at Harbell and Collins, we can make sure that you're getting that right advice.
Absolutely. And one thing is true. These times, they are a-changing.
That's true.
Call Harbell and Collins today, 252-726-9050, or go online to harbellandcollins.com. Start that conversation today.